For some of you, you may have not worshipped with us when we've had the chairs like this, when we've been in the round. And it may seem a bit uncomfortable because we can see each other. We can look directly at each other as we're worshipping, as we're praising. But tonight I wanted us to think about the church. Who is the church? And notice I said, who is the church, not what is the church. Many people think that the church is the building, as beautiful as it is. But the church is not the bricks and mortar. The church is people. Take a look around at each other. Look at the different sizes and the shapes, the different coloured eyes, the different coloured hair, the lack of hair. And we're different. But what does church look like? And we're going to just think about this in two parts tonight. The first part, we're going to think about the early church, the church that the worldwide church was built on. And then we're going to be thinking a bit about us as church and what that means to us. In Galatians 3, we read, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So all these differences that we've just looked at, and some of these obviously we can only see superficially, they're only the things that we can see, we maybe don't know what people are really like, but these differences mean that we are all one in Christ. We're all one under the same umbrella. During Jesus' ministry here on earth, he had 12 close friends, disciples, apostles. And these would be the ones who Jesus would use to start church and on whom we are now built. The early church got going and these guys were out there making churches. And we're just going to look very quickly at these 12 disciples. I don't know whether you've ever thought about who they were, what they were doing when they were called, what characteristics they had, and what jobs they had, their family life or anything. But we're going to have a whistle-stop tour of 12 disciples. So buckle up, we're on our way. Peter was known as Simon. He was known as Simon Peter, Cephas the Rock. He was gregarious. He was a natural leader and an obvious spokesperson for the 12. And his name is mentioned far more than any other in the New Testament. He was the older of two brothers, and he was the only married disciple. I've been a Christian for nearly 40 years. That was new to me. Just putting that out there. But every day is a school day. We're all here to learn. And his assignment was to bring the gospel to the circumcised. Peter is well known for denying Jesus 3 times. That's what so many people know him for. But we also read that Peter was also restored by Jesus. Then there was Andrew. Andrew was the first to follow Jesus, and his enthusiasm was evident as his desire to introduce his brother to Jesus revealed what was already in his heart. He had a deep love for God, and he wanted to tell others about that. He was not a dominant person next to his outspoken brother, but he was passionate about preaching and he shared the gospel boldly. And he was a significant contributor to the early church. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. There is some biblical evidence that Zebedee was an affluent man. He was able to hire servants to help with his fishing. And in that day, that must have meant that he had money. James is listed before his younger brother, John, yet he remains somewhat obscure, except for the fact that he is part of Jesus' inner three. He is rather quiet part of the team of disciples in that we don't read much about him. John is much more at the forefront of what is happening during the 3 years of his training with Jesus, and he was known as the disciple that Jesus loved. And he was also part of the inner three. He wrote a large portion of the New Testament, and he wrote more about love than any other subject. His close proximity to Jesus taught him much about love. And James and John were known for being men of intense passion and fervour. And many of you will know they were known as the Sons of Thunder, some nickname to have. Philip, we don't know much about Philip. In fact, we know almost nothing, other than he had a heart for evangelism. He was anxious to tell Nathanael about Jesus. They were close companions. That's kind of all we really know about him. Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, Jesus recognized how sincerely his love for God was from the beginning. Because Jesus says to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Straight away, Jesus recognized his character. Matthew was the tax collector, the most despised of people in Israel. They were known for taking extra money from people. They were known for lining their own pockets with the money. And then Matthew brought the gospel to Ethiopia and to Egypt. Thomas, usually nicknamed Doubting Thomas, he was an outspoken skeptic to the point of being known as a pessimist. No details are given about Thomas in the first three gospels other than to mention his name. But when Lazarus had died and the disciples feared for the life of Jesus and themselves if they went back to Bethany, Thomas spoke up and he said, "Let us all go, that we may die with him." And here we see Thomas's characteristic of loyalty and courage. It was a quality that wasn't often attributed to Thomas. As I've said, most of the things we hear about Thomas is Doubting Thomas. And yet he was a man of loyalty and courage. James the Less, who was also was the son of Alphaeus. And except for a few details about his family, there's not much more mentioned about him in the Bible. And maybe that's why he was referred to as James the Less. What is important to remember is although James was somewhat in the background, he was still chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12. He was trained and used by Jesus in a powerful way to further the kingdom of God. He was a valuable team member. Simon the Zealot was probably a political activist in his younger years. Why would Jesus choose someone with this background? It's amazing that Jesus would select a man to be one of his disciples who had such a background, such a characteristic. But he was a man of fierce loyalties. He was amazing. He had an amazing passion, courage and zeal. And Simon had believed the truth and embraced Jesus as his Lord. This fiery enthusiasm he once had for Israel was now expressed as devotion to Jesus. Judas, son of James, lived in obscurity as one of the 12. He did ask Jesus a question when he said, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Judas seemed overly concerned with this question, and Jesus responded by saying he would reveal himself to anyone who loved him. Most early traditions say that Judas, son of James, a few years after Pentecost, took the gospel north to Edessa. And when he went to Edessa, he healed the king of Edessa. Then we've got Judas Iscariot, the traitor. Nothing is known about Judas's background, where he was when Jesus called him. But his encounter and call by Jesus is, because it's not recorded there, but he obviously became a follower and he stayed with the 12 and he stayed with Jesus for 3 years. He gave Jesus those 3 years of his life, but he didn't give Jesus his heart. And Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And as we know, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. As well as these 12 men who were around Jesus, let's not forget the women too. Mary Magdalene, for example, a woman of poor reputation and from a dubious background. She was healed from demons and went on to serve Jesus and his followers. She was also the first one to see Jesus alive at the resurrection, and she went on to tell the others about about Jesus, that he had truly risen from the dead. And from that account, the news spread throughout the nation. So who are these folk that Jesus wanted to build the church on? Well, from what we've just heard, they were ordinary men and women. They were from rural farming community areas. They were fishermen. They had zeal, passion, enthusiasm, and could be trusted. They had a heart for the lost and the broken, and some were natural leaders. Some were shy and quiet and people who were in the background. Some were single, some were married. They came from rich families and poor families. They were team players. And yes, there were doubters, traitors, and failures. Do any of these characteristics sound familiar to us? 100 people gathered here tonight. I'm going to come back in a moment and think about ourselves. Thank you that no matter who we are, Lord, as we've thought about the 12 disciples and who they were, Lord, we thank you that you welcomed them in their failures because Calvary covers it all. Lord, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for the work of the cross. And Lord, we thank you that you welcome us, this group of people gathered here tonight, to work on your behalf. Lord, you love to invest in us, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our lives to hear what you want to call us to as your church tonight. Amen. Please be seated, and Hannah's going to bring the reading to us.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it.
Thanks, Hannah. So a reading that might be very familiar to a lot of you, a reading that we hear quite a lot about the body and how as a church we work as a body. And we thought earlier about the 12 disciples, the different characteristics that they brought to the early church, the different gifts that they brought. Their backgrounds were all important to who they were and to how they ministered and the church as it became. But what about us? What about Fullwood Free Methodist Church? What makes this church function well? a diverse group of people from this church community. That's what makes this church work. And you are part of that diverse community. We've all got a part to play. And I wonder whether you've ever thought about what part you play in making this church what it is. As a church, we are mixed ages, currently 0 to 94. We're from mixed ethnic backgrounds, and we represent around a dozen different countries. We come from different faiths, different denominations, and none. We have those who work across the whole employment spectrum, and those who are unemployed. We have those who are single, married, widowed, divorced. We have those who are very physically able and those who are not. There are those who can understand and comprehend the complexities of life and those who struggle with everyday activities. All these individuals are valued by God. They've all got worth and value in his sight. We know that because he sent Jesus, his son, to die for all of us. Not just one or two, but for all of us. Whatever, wherever we are on that list I've just read out. We're all unique and we've all got a part to play. As Hannah was reading that out to us then, I wonder if you thought, oh, that's me, I'm an eye, I'm a hand, I'm a leg, whatever. We've all got a part to play and we're all different. How boring would life be if we were all the same? If we all looked the same, if we all taught the same, if we all had the same gifts, nothing would get done because we need each other. We need this diversity. We need this to make us churched and make us function well. I wonder when you last did a jigsaw. In our house, it's been a bit of a tradition. At Christmas, we do jigsaws. And that's something we've picked up really from Graham's family. They always did a jigsaw. And there's a bit of a confession here tonight. I wanted a jigsaw for tonight, so I ordered one. And I chose this jigsaw. And we wanted to make it. So last night, we've got one of these big jigsaw cases. And we got it out last night to start the jigsaw. And when we opened it up, there was a jigsaw in it, about three quarters finished. And guess what pattern was on the jigsaw? How I did that, I do not know, but it was exactly the same as the one I'd ordered the day before and arrived yesterday, was already three quarters finished on the thing. So there's a confession, and sadly this wasn't from this last Christmas either, it was from the Christmas before that we'd not finished it. But I wonder when you do a jigsaw, how you start it. Corners, edges, I think we're all probably the same in how we do that. And then do you start getting the colours, the things that look vaguely familiar, the patterns, the shapes? Well, these make a jigsaw stable, the corners and the edge, so that we've got a framework to work with. And then also if you try to move it, if you do like doing jigsaws and you haven't got one of these boards, I highly recommend them. They are brilliant, particularly when you want to put it away, when you want to eat at the table or something. But church is a bit like this. We need to get the corners in place. We need to get the edges, the framework. And if you like to think about that, that's sort of the paid staff, the leadership. You've got these people in place round the edges to start your jigsaw. I wonder whether you've ever done a jigsaw and found one piece missing. So frustrating. And it's usually somewhere hidden on the carpet, isn't it? Because you can't see it or you've had the box in and out, but there's one piece missing. How did you feel when that one jigsaw piece was missing? All the hours of effort in making that jigsaw and now you can't finish it. There's that piece missing. Graham's grandma had dementia, but one of the things she could still do was a jigsaw. And she still liked doing the jigsaw. And we'd all sit round the table doing the jigsaw. And you'd get there, and the last piece wasn't there. And then you go, Grandma. She'd say, yeah. And she'd go. And she'd had the last piece all the time. And she wanted to put that last piece in. How do you feel putting that last piece in? So satisfying, isn't it? Just to put that last bit in and making that picture complete. It gives us such joy. Because that is what it was made for. To be a complete picture. It doesn't look right when there's bits missing. When you arrived, you were given a jigsaw piece. Have a look at it. Look at its shape. Look at the pattern on it. And just think about that piece that you've got there. All the pieces are different shapes, and they will only go in one place in the jigsaw. I don't know whether you've watched children trying to put pieces in jigsaws, and they try to make it work. It will fit in there, and you can look at it and you think, well, the pattern's not quite right, and they look at you hoping that you've noticed that it's gone in, but then you realise, no, it really isn't right. But we try to make it fit, but it will only go in one place. And if they are the same shape, they've got a different pattern on them. So again, they'll only go in one place. And tonight, I want to suggest that church is like a jigsaw. We've all got our part to play, whatever that may be. And the complete jigsaw that you have a piece of looks like this. It's some birds in a garden. But what does church look like? A complete church, a whole church look like? Well, I think we're on our way to being a good and a complete church. But I don't think we'll be complete until Jesus returns. Until we meet him in heaven. Then church will be complete. But on this picture, we can't replace the robin's red breast with the yellow wing of the butterfly. It doesn't work. If we're lacking in yellow wings, then we need to find them and put them in that place. And as a church, we are lacking some yellow wings. There are places where we need people to be serving, where we need to be people to be ministering in that area. We need to find these people so that our church can be complete, or as complete as it's going to be this side of heaven. Recently, we lost one of our treasured jigsaw pieces in Auntie Anne Hall. She played a very specific part in the role of this church, and it was a role that some of you may have never seen or never known. But now there's a gap. Anne ministered to children and to their families. Who's going to fill that gap? Now, as we've already said, we're all unique, so it's not going to be exactly the same person that Anne was. But there's still a gap missing. There's still somebody we need to be caring as well as she did for our children and as well as she did for our families. How would the jigsaw look if some of us refused to put our pieces in? If we hid them and said we're not going to do it? The jigsaw would be incomplete. There would be gaps. The pattern wouldn't be right. Some of our pieces are similar to others, and some are different, just like we are. You can see family similarities in people. You can see gift similarities in people. And yet, we're all different. Being different is good. And we've got to accept all these differences because they matter. I'm not like you. You're not like the person beside you. We're different for a reason. We're different because we were created that way. And I don't think our jigsaw would be what it is if it was all white. You can actually buy all white jigsaws. I'm not quite sure who would do that, but it is a thing because I looked it up. But if it was just one white, bland picture, it wouldn't be, to me, what it was meant to be, a thing of beauty when it's finished. But we should be trying to make this complete. And to do that, it needs two things from us. We have to be willing to place ourselves in the jigsaw. We have to become part of the picture, whatever that may be. A corner, an edge, a middle, a bright piece, a dull piece, whatever that might be, we have to be willing. And this might be costly to us in our lives. It might be costly to us financially if God is challenging us to give. And it might cost us our family time. It might cost us our work time. It might cost us all sorts of different things. But this year, as a church, we're thinking about stretching. What is God challenging us to do? Is he challenging us to step out into a new ministry? Is he challenging us to give? Is he challenging us to get alongside somebody? What is that stretch that God is challenging us to do? We've been called to be disciples and to follow Jesus. And he tells us in the Bible that this is costly if we follow him as he's asked us to. So is God asking you to step up and put a piece in and to be part of the jigsaw? To find your place in the body, the church, and serve this church and its people? We might need to think about missing pieces. Who are the missing pieces? Who are these people? It might be that these missing pieces are the people who are moving into the 5,000 homes right on our doorstep. People who don't yet know Jesus. We need to pray that they will come and they would find their place here and they would find their place in this picture because Jesus loves them and Jesus wants them to be part of our community. I love our church so much and I love that all are welcomed here. Those who are different, those who can't sit still, those who make a noise. They're all loved by God and should be loved by us too. They may be the robin's red breast or the butterfly's yellow wing. So are we willing to make this church complete? Instead of maybe moaning about someone or something that isn't being done, or somebody that's doing it that shouldn't be doing it, is there a place for us that we've not yet stepped into? This doesn't have to be a place of hard work. It doesn't have to mean we've got to be on a team. It doesn't have to mean... But could we be that person who welcomes people? Could we be the person who sits beside somebody and says, "Good morning, nice to see you. How's your week been?" It could be so simple, but it could be something that God is calling us to do. God is calling us to step up and put our piece in place. Your jigsaw piece that you've got, I want you to take it home and look at it and have a think about it. If you're here tonight from another church, think what God might be calling you to do in your church. If you're here and you're part of Forward Free Methodist Church, how can you make this place complete, this final picture with all the pieces in place? So many of us think, "Oh, well, they don't need me." You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. We need you to be part of Forward Free Methodist Church. We need you to function as part of this church in whatever simple way you can. So take that piece home, have a think of it, think where it fits, ask God, "What else would you like me to do? Do I need to say, just speak to somebody? Do I need to pray?" Prayer is an undervalued gift. So often people say to me, "All I can do is pray." Praise God for people that can just pray. Because so much happens around here because of these people who are praying for our activities daily, weekly. There are people praying for our children and our young people. There are people praying for Alpha. There are people praying for freedom in Christ. And I thank God for those people. Maybe that's something that you could be doing, something that God is calling you to do, to be that place, to fill this jigsaw, to play your part. This church needs you, and you, and you, and you, and you. We're all needed. We're all vital. Whatever our abilities, capabilities, whatever our personalities, whatever our backgrounds, we're all needed. And that is so important that we all hear that tonight. Because as we heard, the disciples were a group of guys from all kinds of backgrounds with different abilities and things. And they were used to start the churches that we have grown and grown and grown, and we have become a worldwide historical part of. And we thank God for that. We're going to pray, we're going to worship again in a minute. But as we do that, if you really feel that God is saying to you tonight, I need you to step up and put your part in this jigsaw. Don't put the part of the jigsaw that you've got. You're going to take that home. But this is a second one. And there are parts here. These are mainly the edges, and these here are the middle bits. Now, there isn't a bit taken out for everybody, but if just something, as we worship, you feel you really want to do that, come and just put one of these pieces in that jigsaw and say, do you know what? I want to be part of what's going on here at Forward Free Methodist Church. I want to be part of this church community. I'm going to be active in prayer. I'm going to be active in serving. I'm going to be active in supporting. Whatever that may be, you come and do that as we worship. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you call us, each and every one that's here tonight, to be part of your church. Lord, we thank you that church isn't building, it isn't bricks and mortar, but it is living, it is people. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to each one of us, that you would show us the things that we need to step into. You would show us that we are valuable pieces of this jigsaw, and that each one of us plays a vital part. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be spaces in this jigsaw, but Lord, we would fill them by stepping up ourselves, by inviting others in to be part of this church. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you love us so much. You call us to yourself. And Lord, I pray that you would continue with us as we worship you. Speak to our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.